This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:11 and we're going to be moving on now to a very sobering story, because in the past week, Palestinians in occupied East Jerusalem have faced forced evictions from their home. They've also had a series of really traumatizing events happen, right? So, for example, they've had Al-Aqsa Mosque violently raided. They've also been suffering airstrikes in Gaza from the Israeli armed forces.
Yes. So one of the main things that has brought all of this into the international attention, I think, is really when news of at least six Palestinian families who have been living in this area called Sheikh Jarrah under occupied East Jerusalem. So they are being forced out of their homes, and that is in a move to replace them with Jewish settlements. This came to light on the 2nd of May, and it was following a ruling by the Jerusalem District Court that had also ordered for seven other families to leave their homes in August. So that's a total of 58 people, including 17 children. And this is a part of Israel's annexation of East Jerusalem.
Yes. And so once that began, there's been a lot of outcry. And as is usually the case, I think, sadly, with Israel and Palestine, we've also seen a scaling up, right? So yesterday, Israeli security forces raided Al-Aqsa Mosque, leaving hundreds injured. One of the people praying at the mosque actually told Al Jazeera that the raid happened at 8 in the morning, and about 1,000 Israeli police invaded the premises, fired rubber bullets, tear gas. There was a stun grenade thrown into the mosque. And according to the Palestinian Red Crescent, more than 300 Palestinians suffered injuries. Police said that about 20 Israeli officers were hurt.
And then also on May 10th, Hamas, which is the Palestinian militant group, had issued an ultimatum for Israeli forces to withdraw from both Al-Aqsa and Sheikh Jarrah. And when this didn't happen, Hamas launched rockets towards Jerusalem. The Israeli military responded with airstrikes in Gaza. That led to, according to estimates, 25 Palestinians being killed, including 9 children and over 100 injured. Now, in response to international criticism to all of these things, not surprisingly, the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu basically defended the events that took place and called it a just struggle by the Israeli police force, and praised them really for their steadfastness in the face of all of this. So that's where we're at. I think a lot of attention being paid internationally, not sure whether that's translating into much action.
So we have on the line with us to, I think, just give us a clearer picture of the overview of what's going on. We're joined by Muslim Imran, who is the chairman of the Palestinian Cultural Organization Malaysia. Muslim, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me. Good evening to you all.
So can you give us a brief overview of what is happening in Palestine?
I will sum it up in the following. The situation in Palestine now is unfolding on three different fronts. One in Gaza, another in Al-Aqsa Mosque, and the third in Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in Jerusalem. It all started in Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood. The Israeli police brutality in dealing with Palestinians refusing being forced out of their homes in Sheikh Jarrah invited more Palestinian and international attention to the situation. Now, Israel is exposing its apartheid policies in recent days in a more vigorous style. The United Nations ESCOA Commission published a report in 2017 documenting that Israel is an apartheid. In 2021, the leading Israeli human rights group, B'Tselem, published the report also documenting how Israel has become an apartheid. And finally, 2 weeks ago, Human Rights Watch published a 204-page report documenting how Israel is also an apartheid. This apartheid regime, this apartheid state, is now forcing out Palestinians from their homes in Sheikh Jarrah. The Israeli police is protecting Israeli right-wing fanatic settlers who are trying to take over these homes. But the Palestinians in Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood refuse to be forced out of their homes. And this has, of course, invited some clashes between Palestinian protesters and the Israeli police. Repression continued over the past few weeks. But what got things more complicated was the Israeli attack on Al-Aqsa Mosque itself. By the start of Ramadan, on the first day of Ramadan, Israel blocked the entrance, the main entrance of Al-Aqsa Mosque, Bab al-Amud Gate. Palestinian congregations started to protest, and the clashes took place. Israeli right-wing settlers attacked Palestinian congregations, and over the days of Ramadan, there were a lot of protest demonstrations and clashes in and around the gates of Al-Aqsa Mosque. The situation got out of hand on the 28th of Ramadan, which is yesterday, because Israeli settlers started to invite and call their members and supporters to come to celebrate inside the compound of Al-Aqsa Mosque. Now, we all know that in Ramadan, Muslims celebrate the holy month of Ramadan and the last 10 nights of Ramadan. It's the holiest night in the whole year for Muslims. And the Laylatul Qadr is the most celebrated ritual for Muslims worldwide. Al-Aqsa Mosque is the third holiest place in Islam, and it's the holiest sanctuary for Palestinians. So the crowd in Al-Aqsa was huge in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, especially on the 27th night of Ramadan. There were about 90,000 Palestinians congregating inside Al-Aqsa Mosque. On the next day, Israeli right-wing settlers started to gather, and Israeli police wanted to force out Muslims from their mosque, from their place of i'tikaf, in order to allow Israeli extremist settlers to come in and celebrate what they call Jerusalem Day. Of course, Muslims did not accept to go out of the mosque. Things got more tense. Israeli police reverted to brutal treatment, shot stun grenades, fired a lot of rubber-coated iron bullets, gas canisters, etc., and caused the injury of hundreds of Palestinians. As we speak, the recorded number is 714 injuries in and around the city of Jerusalem. Many of them were shot in the eyes. Most of them were minors and children. There were no casualties up until yesterday afternoon, but by night, the Palestinian protests spread all over the West Bank and across Palestinian and even Israeli towns, and one Palestinian was shot dead in the city of Lid. This provocation, of course, invited international anger, Muslim and non-Muslim anger alike, because you don't attack a holy sanctuary in the holiest day of the year and expect to go unnoticed, and you expect people to take it lightly. Palestinians were the most angered, and that's why Palestinians in Gaza protested. When Israel did not give attention, the Palestinian resistance in Gaza clashed with the Israeli military patrols on the border of Gaza. Israel started to bombard Gaza like never before. The casualties are huge. As we speak, there are 25 Palestinian civilians who were murdered in Gaza, and the Israeli army, in fact, announced publicly that they're going to direct their attacks to a residential neighborhood. Why is that so? I think, to me, it's because they want to divert attention from the atrocities that took place in Al-Aqsa Mosque and in Jerusalem. What Israel has done in Al-Aqsa Mosque was the worst act of apartheid. The Israeli state, the Israeli security apparatus and the police was trying to protect fanatic right-wing interests at the expense of the Muslim congregation in Al-Aqsa. And when they failed to force Muslims out of Al-Aqsa Mosque, they reverted to bombarding Gaza and inviting a mass escalation, which continues to unfold. And as we speak, there are, as I said, 25 martyrs, 25 Palestinians killed in Gaza, one in Lid, hundreds of injuries, and the protests are now all over Palestine. It is a mess in its scale, because for the first time in 20 or 21 years, Palestinians are now protesting all over Palestine in Ramallah, Nablus, Hebron, Bethlehem, Lid, Nazareth, Haifa, Yaffa. Even small Arab minorities in Israeli towns are also protesting, clashing with the Israeli police and the Israeli military. And of course, the situation, the volatile situation in Gaza, adds to this. So this is a very brief highlight of the situation in Palestine. So far, the international response has not been up to our expectation. Yes, there have been condemnations from all corners. Several officials from Turkey, Pakistan, Malaysia, some Arab countries condemned the Israeli attacks, but I think more substantial efforts have to be done to pressure Israel to end its attacks on the Palestinians. We're now talking about a fully-fledged apartheid regime, which is acknowledged by international organizations as an apartheid regime, unfolding, unleashing all its forces on civilians in the holiest month in the year, in the holiest place in Palestine. So the scale of the atrocities is preposterous.
Muslim, thank you so much for speaking with us. I don't want to keep you from your iftar, but we appreciate the time.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That was Muslim Imran, chairman of the Palestinian Cultural Organization Malaysia, really talking to us about what's been happening with the attacks in Palestine. And we also wanted to get another perspective on this. So joining us now is Laila Al-Kirim, who is a 21-year-old Palestinian living in Malaysia. Laila, again, thank you for taking the time to speak with us. We wanted to check in with you, first of all. How are you and your family feeling about what's happened over the past week?
Okay, so as Palestinians, it has definitely impacted us, as anytime Israel chooses to, you know, exercise its muscles against Palestinians. And we're truly disheartened to see that their target this time is Al-Aqsa Mosque. I am a Muslim Palestinian, and so it's a double whammy, because Al-Aqsa is the third most holy site for Muslims, and it's also one of the most recognizable cities for Palestine. And even though I've never had the fortune of visiting it personally, it's always been on my bucket list. So I would love to one day pray in Al-Aqsa Mosque. And so to see it attacked so blatantly and so violently by Israeli forces and by the settlers is very disheartening, and it's heartbreaking, of course. But then seeing the response of the Palestinians and their courage in the face of adversity is always, it makes me very proud. And it reminds me why I love this country so much and why I want to see it freed one day.
Laila, do you have family and friends back home? How are they coping with all of this?
Thankfully, none of our family or friends are in or around the vicinity of the attacks. However, I do have family in Ramallah, in Jamain, and other cities in the West Bank. I mean, Palestinians will do what they do best, which is to resist and to keep moving forward and to fight through adversity, regardless whatever form it might take. And so, alhamdulillah, we are doing okay, and my family's doing all right. Thank you for asking.
Laila, you know, this news out of Palestine has become widespread. It's garnered international attention. And this is a pattern that we often see with issues pertaining to Palestine. Does this attention and coverage actually change or help the situation?
Raising awareness is a huge aspect of getting, you know, the movement going. We're not on the ground. There's nothing we can do directly to stop the Israeli army from progressing, right? However, as people, outsiders with money, you know, a lot of people in Palestine don't have access to resources like that. But for us on the outside, resources to, and we have access to our networks, raising awareness is incredibly important, because a lot of people don't even know what the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, if you can even call it that, when one side is so clearly overpowering the other. A lot of people don't know what it boils down to. And so raising awareness, although it might seem like you're not doing anything because you can't see the direct impact, is so, so, so important for the future progression of the movement. we have to keep raising awareness and to show to our governments and our fellow people who choose to side with the oppressor or choose to stay silent, that we will not be silenced and we do not accept what's going on, and we stand in full solidarity with our brothers and sisters in Palestine. There was recently a video interview with a Palestinian woman who is currently residing in Sheikh Jarrah, which is the town being targeted by Israeli settlements. And she was mentioning how, yes, you on the outside might not seem like you're making much of an impact, but to us here on the ground, seeing all of you guys tweeting and sharing and talking about our story helps us stay strong and helps us know that we're not alone in this fight. No matter how small of an impact, no matter how small your voice might seem, it's still a voice and it's still an impact. And if you manage to reach out to even one person's heart, that's much, much more than what was yesterday. So never minimize the impact that your reach can have. Even if you manage to reach out to one person and change their perception or increase their knowledge on the issue, that is one more person than it was yesterday. And slowly but surely, things will change and things will get better. And us as Palestinians, we truly do believe that one day we will be free and we cannot do it alone.
Leila, do you have a message that you'd like to share with us?
First of all, I'd like to thank Malaysia for being a constant ally to the Palestinian people. We are definitely thankful. Well, I can't speak on behalf of everyone, but I mean, it's definitely very important for us to see that even at the government level, Palestine and the Palestinian people have such a strong impact outside. And Malaysia is very loud and bolstered with its support for Palestine. So that's clearly something that we see and appreciate. So second of all, I'd like to thank everyone who has been sharing and talking about this situation. A lot of people on my social media who are Malaysian or who are people residing in Malaysia have been very vocal about this. And it's important that we continue to be very vocal against oppression of any kind and be open and honest about our conversations. I think that as long as we continue to raise awareness and as long as we continue to empower people to donate, it's very important that we also donate and reach out to people on the ground. Because yes, sharing awareness is important, but it's only the first step. And if you can help in any capacity, any way, shape, or form, please do it. The Palestinian people need our help and they need our support now more than ever. And last but not least, I want to ask people to not despair and not feel disheartened by the news, because thus is life, you know? If it's not the Palestinians, it's going to be someone else, and it's going to be the Uyghurs, or it's going to be you know, there's always some ethnic group or minority that's being oppressed. And yes, it might be sad news, but we are not saddened by it. And we will continue to strive and move forward until we are free and until every oppressed peoples are free. So stay empowered and keep speaking about these issues and keep discussing them, no matter how uncomfortable, difficult they might be, because we need all the support we can get.
Leila, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Leila Al-Kirim talking about giving a personal perspective, really, on the events that are the violent, traumatizing events that are taking place in Palestine at the moment. We also heard earlier from Muslim Imran, who is the chairman of the Palestinian Cultural Organization Malaysia. And so if you missed that, you can check that out on our website, and our app will be uploading the podcast very, very shortly. Send those thoughts through. You can keep them coming. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We are headed now to the 7:30 news and beyond that to Popcorn Culture, where we are throwing back to 1986 and Labyrinth. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.